Welcome to Season 2 of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. In this season, Elizabeth will continue to take you through issues which she has come across in her Gestalt praxis, read about, or simply bumped into just living life. In addition, and new to this season, she hopes to occasionally have a guest on the show. The topics will still relate to mental well-being, existential questions, what makes your life meaningful, and also what makes it heavy. The setup of the episodes will be the same, with a set of headlines which hopefully will make it easier for you to make sense of what you hear. You can read much more about Elizabeth and how she works on her website willegestalt.eu.
Hi again, and welcome to this 18th episode of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. Today, we will talk about growing old and growing old in respect for your body and by listening to it. And I'm very happy today to have a guest with me, Fleur Adams. And we have known each other for many years and in many different contexts or connections. But maybe Fleur, maybe you can say a few words about yourself.
Yes. Yeah. As she said, my name is Fleur. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast. We have known each other for a long time. I think the first time we actually touched base was, that was when I was a teacher for your child in the European school. But now I have redone my entire life. I'm now living in Germany, and I started to study a little bit more with yoga and loved it so much that I also became a yoga therapist. So I have studied that here in Germany. So now I'm having group classes for people that don't normally make yoga, or people that are totally new to yoga, or people that just need to move a little bit, but they're not secure in how they move and how to actually do the things. So that's what I'm doing. I'm also working with individuals. I'm working with individuals that where I can use yoga as a tool for them to get in touch with their bodies. And I'm not just talking about their bodies, but also the self-awareness and the consciousness about just being in the now. So yeah, I'm very happy to be here and to share my thoughts with you. Thank you so much.
It sounds already interesting. And Fleur, just remind me which are the languages, just for our audience, that might be interesting. Yes.
Well, I'm Danish, and I've been living in the southern part of Europe now since 2006. So I speak and work in German and English and Danish, and sometimes it's French as well. I'm 50 years old. And I live in Saarland in Germany, the smallest of the states in Germany. I'm very, very happy here.
Perfect. Then we know a bit about where you come from in the world. Yeah, thanks. And let's move on to the figure of today. Figure of today. I am slowly approaching 60. And when I at the start of the summer had a nice coffee with you, Fleur, you mentioned that you had done a lot of thinking about the aspects of, say, regarding this of exercising and getting older and how to fit these two together in the optimal way. And I thought, oh yeah, that is so true. And I think for a lot of us, the first time you recognize that you have a problem with knee or shoulder or with whatever that you can't just fix, but that is something that you have to live with. You have to continue to exercise and be happy and with this shoulder that's problematic, or with this knee, or whatever it is. It's sometime, and for many people, that's a turning point. And for some people, this wisdom, I would say, comes early in life. And for some, it comes later. And that's just how life is different for all of us. Well, anyway, it's an important aspect of knowing yourself and of your self-development. And maybe, Fleur, you will help us put a few more insights to the figure of today.
Yes. Well, I definitely know what you're talking about, this suddenly realizing that you're not getting younger. It's not because I'm a big fan of being young all the time, but it's difficult to actually say, well, I'm 50, I'm quite happy about it. because it seems as if you hear these 50 is the new 30. No, it's not, because 50 years means that you have lived for 50 years, you have a lot of experience, and you know some things you just learned by doing over the years. So this insight that you actually get, that's we have to keep moving our bodies throughout our lives. But when you turn 50, you can't go into panic mode and think, oh, I need to learn how to run a marathon. That's a little bit late. Your body's not built for that. If you have been running marathons your entire life, well, it's a brilliant idea to keep on doing it. But you don't have to do it all the time, and you don't have to keep on excessing yourself. And this is where I have a problem, and that's in the all or nothing. If I can't do it 100%, I don't want to do it at all. So a couple of years ago, I sat down and I found that I wanted to be able to run 10 kilometers before I turned 50. And that I did, but I also ruined my hip doing it because I wasn't taking my body in consideration at all. So I hired a running coach, and he said, yes, you have to do it like this. You have to run 3 times, 4 times a week, and you have to do this. And my body was just not built for it. I'm not built for running 10 kilometers. I can walk immense lengths and I don't get tired at all, but I can't run. It's not working for me. And this all or nothing thing, it really taught me something, because now I found out, yes, if I want to be able to run 10 kilometers, I did it, and I did it in a good time as well. All is good. But if I want to do it my way, I can't follow a plan that somebody who's 28 is doing for me, because she's doing it from where she's standing. So now, instead of having a goal that's I want to run 10 kilometers twice a year, my goal is I want to run when my body feels that it's nice to run. So it means that my runs have become less frequent, but I have much more enjoyment in them, because I do it because not because of the fitness factor, but because of my head and because of my thoughts, to kind of calm down. So for me, it has been a very much a thing of, okay, I can't do it. I will never be able to run a marathon, but I like running, and I don't have to run 10 kilometers to feel good. So I just had to find that way, but I find it's difficult. And in that way, I'm very happy that I'm 50, that I'm not a teenager today, where you have such peer pressure from social media, from the filters that everybody puts on, and also that there are so many young people that are just not happy because they feel as if it doesn't matter what they do, it's never good enough. I mean, you have to be able to run a marathon while you're baking gluten-free buns and at the same time picking up your children from your vegan kindergarten. You have to do everything 100%, otherwise it's not counting. And I must say, I found out it's not working for me. It's not working for me at all.
No, and I think you have a point, and it's not working for many people. And I'm happy there that you also mentioned teenagers, because I think that this aspect of working a bit to finding what is right for you is something that, well, for some of us comes quite late in life, but for some people it actually comes quite early, maybe already in the teenage years. Yes. If for some reason something happens in your life that you have to work a bit with yourself, and you have to stop and think, is this good for me? And spend practice, basically.
And that is what comes with age. You cannot say to a teenager, yet you can explain it to them, this too will pass, but they will never understand it. And that is the benefit of growing old. For me, it's not growing old, because I feel better now than I have ever felt before. Even though I'm going through menopause and having a really hard time with it, I feel, you know, these ads that you see on television where they say, would you like to be 25 years younger? I'm just like, oh my God, no. I don't want to be 25 again. It's just too hard for me.
Oh, yeah. I do think it's something that we are forced to do when we get older. And still, there are a lot of things that you can pick up during your life, whatever age you have. And so elements of, yes, growing older in respect of and for your body, by listening to it, that's something that we will look at today. How is this important? So now we want to talk about how is it, I think we already touched on it actually in the figure of today, but how is it important that we grow old in respect of our bodies and that we learn to listen to it? And Fleur, you already elaborated part on this, but maybe there are more to add. Let's hear.
Yes, something that I really was touched about the last time I was in India, I was meeting up with an Indian yoga therapist. And she told me that in India, you kind of divide your life in four stages. You have your childhood, you have your adulthood, and then you have your old age, and then you have your being a hermit. So in your childhood, you get ready to start moving into life. Your body is fresh. It moves very fast. Remember when your children broke an arm, it took 6 weeks to heal, because the bones are nice and fresh and strong and everything just moves faster with children. And then you come into adulthood. That's where you start getting settled. You find which way you want to move in your life. You find, do you want to have children? Do you want to have a family? Your body hardens up a little bit. That means that you don't heal as fast anymore. Your bones, they become a little bit more brittle, and because you have to have strong bones to go through what you go through in your adulthood. Then you move into your old age. That's when your children move away from home. That's when you go into menopause. And that's when men get into this, oh, they're going to buy a new motorcycle or a new car or something like that. And that's when you start degenerating. Your body starts slowly. Everything, it takes a long time for you to heal and things like that. So you have to take care of that as well. And then when you get really, really old and wise, they say the Indians, when you've gone through everything in your body, when you've taken care of that, you have so much wisdom, then you can move into the woods and become a hermit. And then the young people, the children or the young people, they can come to you and seek your advice. And then you just sit very quietly and meditate and give good advice. So if you look into those four stages, in the beginning, you move a lot, everything moves around you, then you settle down, everything in your body settles down. And then it starts slowly to be like this. You have to calm down a little bit, not to overdo it and things like that. So yeah, in our lives, we are made for going out in the world, seeking what we want, settling down, and then at the end, sitting with all our wisdom. In my case, I wouldn't be living in a cage. I think I would be living on a bench by the sea. It's not something that I don't say to people, stop doing anything. But I say to people, if you look at your body as an instrument, you need to find out how the instrument is best held up. An instrument, as you know, you can't, if it's a car, for instance, you can't just have a nice vintage car standing in the garage. And if you never move it, it will just fall apart. The motor will just not work at some point because it's not, the parts in the motor is not moved and things like that. So you will have to move it a little bit every day. And that's the way that it works with your body as well. Your body is a mechanical doing. It has got joints that you need to move to make sure that for the first, how does it feel when I move it? But also when you move it, you create a little bit of fluid in your joints that makes your joints move better. I bet you have also yourself, Elizabeth, tried this. Oh, I've got a pain. I can't move today. And then it just becomes worse. So when you get older, you realize, okay, I've got a pain in my knee. How can I actually move my knee? Is it when it's stretched or when it's bent? Is it in my joint behind the knee or is it in my knee in front that I feel it? So you have to be much more attentive to your body. And your body, that's also the experience that you have. Your body, it saves everything throughout your life. So everything that you have went through, that you've gone through in your life, it will be in your body somewhere. So if you have a pain somewhere, just pay attention to it and okay, there you are. My friend, I see you, let's work with you. And sometimes, of course, you have so much pain that you need to take a painkiller. I'm not saying never take painkillers or something like that. I'm saying, can you live with the pain? If you can't live with the pain, because at some point that gets so stressful, take painkillers, yeah? So you have to take care of your body.
Yeah, it makes absolutely sense what you say. And I can't help thinking, yeah, I am very aware of my knees.
So, exactly.
Yeah, you know a bit about that, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I'm happy also that you just touched on this, that, I mean, this is not about that we can't life through prevent operations or taking painkillers, or it's not about this. It's about finding the right balance and making sure that we allow the system to do what the system can do with a bit of help from us, so to say. Yeah. Interesting talk. And let's move on to what's Gestalt in all of this. And maybe here we can also get a bit more into what is actually yoga therapy. A bit about what's Gestalt in all of this. So let's have a look at what's Gestalt in all of this, of how we use our bodies, how we listen to our bodies, and also how it connects what you are doing, Fleur, and what I do with Gestalt therapy. As I mentioned at the start of today, with regard to how we use our bodies, with exercise, what kind of exercise is good for us, a lot of what Fleur has been talking about until now is connected to Gestalt, knowing where we are, how to act, react moment by moment is a big part of what I again and again am working with clients on. I did touch on this also in the episode about being midlife, and Fleur, you also mentioned this. Yeah, well, maybe Fleur, maybe you can tell us a bit more about yoga therapy, just to give us a bit of info about what that actually is.
Well, my own interest was, as I said, actually sparked by how I could see that yoga was helping me through a very good, difficult time in my life. It was through my herniated disc where I couldn't move at all that I started doing yoga, really, with a private teacher and everything. And I found out that there was a certification that's called yoga therapy. It's a Swiss guy called Remo Rittiner. We're going to put all the informations in under here so you can see that.
Yeah, it will all be in the description notes, and you will also be able to find it on my webpage where you find the stuff about the podcast for sure. Yes.
Brilliant. He's Swiss, and he is currently, he's now living in Thailand. But he was actually a yoga teacher, and he wanted to use the yoga as a therapeutic tool. He comes from the school of Sivananda, and that means that it's very important that the yoga asanas, the practice of the exercises, is anatomically correct. Because many yoga teachers, they tend to go maybe into the poses a little too deep, and then it's not good. But you have to look at your body as an anatomically, as the skeleton actually, and find out how can I do this the best way for my body. So this yoga therapy that I have learned, it takes the old yogic way, the asana practice, and then it takes the Ayurveda, it's the knowledge of life, that's the old Indian philosophy, and it melts into a form of therapy where you use, as I said, the anatomically correct and healthy movements in your body, but also where you are. So when I look at you and you tell me that you have a bad knee, I can sit down and then I can say, okay, where is your knee pain? How does it feel? Where can you move? And then I can make you yoga practice for your knees. When I hear that you've got problems with your knees, I don't just think your knees. I think, okay, there must be something with your feet because your knees are not aligning. There must be something with your hips because when your feet are not straight on the floor, you have a risk of having a little bit of a problem with an unbalanced hip area. So I would work with your posture, and I would work with building the muscle on your legs, especially the smaller muscles on the sides of your legs.
Oh, I see.
Because if you want to go anywhere in the world, you need to know where you're going, of course, but the other part is, as in a Gestalt, from where you're coming. You cannot travel anywhere. You cannot put anything into a GPS before that you know from where you're coming. So this where you're coming from is actually maybe the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Is the guy, I just got a bit confused, is he Dutch or is he Swiss?
No, he's Swiss. He's Swiss. But he lives in Thailand.
Okay.
And he's done a lot of yoga therapy books, mostly in German, of course, because that's his main language. But they are also getting translated to other languages. And he's moved on to working more and more in direction of meditation.
Oh, I see.
So there's a lot of material on him, and he's got his own school and everything. He's a very, very talented, very hearty guy. He's a lot of heart, I must say. Yeah.
And then it sounds like a very tailored kind of yoga, in fact, that you do. So tailored to the individual and the individual needs. Yeah.
And that's also what makes it so special, is that when I feel that when I do also a group class, I can look into the class and see very fast which problems do which people have. So I can see that Anna, she's got problems with her knees because she doesn't go into cat dog positions very good. And I can see that Iris, she's got problems with her shoulders also because I know that she's a hairdresser. So I look into the group. But if you come to me and book session as a yoga therapist, I would first of all look at you, and then I would make an anamnese. It's a kind of a body scan where I look from your feet all the way up and see what kind of problems areas I see, or not problems, potential, because it's not a problem. It's because your body is so strong, it learns how to work around what you in German call Baustellen, you know, places where you have a little bit of a problem. If you've got a bad knee, you learn how to balance out when you stand on the other leg. Yeah. So that means that the other leg is going to be stronger. You're going to have a little bit of tension in your hip. You can have a little bit of problem in your lower back on that side. So everything kind of moves up.
Yeah. Makes sense. And is there a lot of, the kind of therapy I do, obviously, there is a lot of conversation is part of it. There are experiments and there are different things, but is conversation part of what you do, or is it mainly working?
No, it's very much a part of it, because what I have experienced myself is that when I come to a doctor and said I've got a pain in my shoulder, then he's very fast writing out a receptor so that you can get some tablets and get on with it. So I have experienced myself, it's difficult for me to actually tell what my problem is. I just tell them about my symptom, because that's what they're interested in. So when I have a session, it takes between 1 and 2 hours, because I need the person to tell me how they feel. And everything about what that person tells me, how his body is moving while he talks about it, his voice, how I feel in the room with him, that tells me something about his problem.
I see. Yes, that makes sense. Yeah.
And also it makes people lighter if they finally have somebody to listen to them. You know, it's like in your therapy session, sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. I just need to talk about it. And then afterwards you feel light.
Yeah. There are many aspects of this, of getting it out of you. Yes. I think so. Yeah. Before you even start working on it or with it.
Exactly. But in the meditational parts of my work, because I also do a lot of meditation where the people, they are exactly as with you, very much in, where am I right now? How does my body feel on the floor? When I go into that meditational part of it, I have realized, I have learned through 7 years of practice now, they don't need to talk about what they go through in the meditation time. Sometimes people, they start crying and they feel very, very moved by what things are happening in them. But after the meditation, they don't need to talk about it, because the body works through it themselves. And maybe sometimes I find that very much of an advantage, because that means that the body works it with it yourself. Yeah. It works with it itself instead of you talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think that we talk too much.
Yeah, in our part of the world, that's we do a lot of that. That's true. Yeah. And I think, it's so true what you say, that we have to start, all of us, where we are with whatever that is. And of course, this goes through your life. You have to work with not where you wish you were, but where you actually are. And I think that, yes, you explained well how you also work with your clients about this, of getting more aware about the signs that you get from your body, not just your head, but also your body. And in Gestalt, we talk about this as full awareness. And yes, I know that, dear listeners, you will have heard me talk about this many times before in previous episodes, but full awareness is made up of the middle zone, is what's happening in our head, the inner zone, what we sense, and the outer zone, what gets to us from our senses, hear, see, smell, etc. during the Gestalt sessions, I will ask the client, when you talk about this and that, maybe just take a moment and see how it feels in your body right now. And this helps us train using the full awareness and getting information from the body as well. Because as we discussed earlier, this is something that we through life often sort of unlearn doing. It can also be the other way around, so that I might notice that the client gets a shivering, a chill, often the inner zone at work. And then I might ask what is happening, which might help the client to actually use their clever head to make sense of what actually happened when they had this chill, when they had this shivering. Well, hope all of this gave you a peek into how Gestalt also helps us listen to our body in the same way as Fleur explained she is doing with yoga therapy with her clients. So many ways to reach Rome, and this is just great. I believe we need to practice all through life, not only when we are growing old. I do think that Fleur has a good point, as we discussed before, of us that over the years, we become so trained in this of not listening. When we are sick, we keep on struggling through. Maybe we don't sleep enough and so on. Just a few examples. So when we get older, it takes a bit of work to rediscover sort of this ability by using our full awareness. Closing the Gestalt. So we are getting to the end of today's podcast, and I would like to thank you, all listeners, for listening, and of course, Fleur, for being here today and to help discuss the aspects of how we get through life and how we listen to our body and all the aspects connected to that. Thanks a lot, Fleur.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been very interesting to seeing the connections that we share in Gestalt and yoga therapy.
Yes, I can only agree. And of course, as Fleur remembered to say earlier on, you will find all the details about Fleur and her work, both in the episode description below here and also on my webpage. So thank you all for listening again.
Thanks for listening to this episode. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show via your podcast app of choice. Should you have any questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Elizabeth Wille. You will find all the needed details on the website willegestalt.eu. Just a quick disclaimer, all case stories are anonymized and no clients directly quoted without prior written consent. And remember, any information you hear on this podcast, see on the Wille Gestalt website, Facebook page or Instagram, is for information purposes only and should never be a substitute for actual mental and or medical advice from a doctor, psychiatrist or any other health professional.